नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Texts 24 through 26. Tesham avirabhudvani arupa meghanishvana sanadayanti kakubha sadhunam abhayankari. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. Ma bhaishta vibhuta shreshta sarvesham bhadramastuvaha madarshanam hibhutanam sarvashreyo papattaye. Gatam etasya doratmyam daiteya pasadasya yat tasya shantim karishyami kalam tavat pratikshata. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers, for these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Purport. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. In considering the word mud darshanam, seeing me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, bhaktyahamam abhijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see Him, or talk with Him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshipping the deity in the temple, seeing him, and chanting his glories. Indeed, all of these are ways of seeing him, for everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord, because they were offering prayers, and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound, Hare Krishna, is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Om Tesham Avirabhudvani Arupa Mega Nishvana Sannadayanti Kakupa Sadhunam Abhyankari Ma Bhaishta Vibhudha Shreshta Sarvesham Padramastu Vaha Mad Darshanam Hi Bhutanam Sarvashayopapattaye Gyatam Etasya Dhoratmyam Daiteya Pasadasya Yat Tasya Shantim Kurishyami Kalam Tavat Pratikshata. The devotees offering prayers wanted to get the darshan of the Lord, and they got it through their ears. The Srila Prabhupada used to say, don't try to see Krishna with the eyes, but with the ears. We place all emphasis on the eyes. Can you show me? But hearing is more important. By hearing, one can understand everything. The devotees heard the Lord, and they could understand the mission of the Lord. Would they have understood by seeing? They could understand the... Similarly, we go see a saintly person, and we see. And then we offer some namaskars, and we go. Yes, I saw a very saintly person. But one sees a saintly person by hearing. Simply to go and see and not hear is not as useful as hearing the instructions of the saintly person. We're still hearing the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That hearing is as good as association with the Lord. So the Lord appeared arupa. They didn't see any form, but they heard Meganishvana, the resounding voice of the Lord, and Sadhunam Abhyankari. So their fear was banished by hearing. Ma Bhaishta Vibhuta Shreshta. The Lord said, don't worry. Let there be all good fortune upon you. Mad Darshanam Hi Bhutanam Sarvashayo Papattaye. Seeing me is good for everyone. But Srila Prabhupada particularly glosses Maddarshanam as seeing the Lord, or offering prayers to the Lord, or hearing about the Lord. Because these are all absolute. They're all possible through bhakti yoga. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. The process of even seeing is by devotional service. Otherwise, even seeing, still we don't see. The Duryodhana saw. But that seeing was not so beneficial for him, because he didn't see with devotional vision. So although he saw, he couldn't see. Kamsa saw Krishna, but still he didn't get the same benefit as the devotees who saw the Lord with love and devotion. He got some benefit. Seeing was also good. And still better was being punched out by the Lord. He was very fortunate to get the touch of the Lord. But that touch was not as fortunate as the touch of the devotees who were surrendered to the Lord. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Therefore, devotional service means favorably doing these things. Hearing about the Lord with submissive oral reception. Seeing the Lord with eyes of love. Serving the Lord with a devoted mind. These are anukul, all favorable for service, or favorable for the perfection of life. So, madarshanam, seeing the Lord, one can see the Lord by hearing. One can see the Lord by hearing. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Lord Himself. Hare Krishna. The mantra, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, is the Lord Himself. And it's just a question of realization. Realization of the Lord is not attained merely by mechanical means. Narad Muni found that out. Narada found that out in his previous life. You need another minute or so to test. Hare Krishna. Testing, 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 testing. Life. He was instructed in yoga by the Bhaktivedantas. And when he tried the technique, he was able to see the Lord. But then the Lord disappeared and said, I'm not going to appear before you again. Although Narad Muni tried again. The Lord disappeared, so he went back to the system and tried to get the Lord to appear again. The Lord didn't appear. I've appeared before you once just to increase your eagerness, but I won't appear before you again in this life. Because the Lord is swarat, independent. He doesn't appear merely in response to a mechanical formula. You know, I said this many Hail Marys or this many Hare Krishnas, and now the Lord has to appear before me. I chant 16 rounds a day, and therefore, at the end of the day, the Lord has to do this, this, and this, and this. It's not like that. It's not a mechanical thing where the Lord is obliged as if in some karmakandiya formula. More or less in the karmakandiya department, you do a certain thing, you get a certain result. But the relationship between the Lord and the devotee is, or the Lord and the living entity, is not like that. That the Lord has to do this or the Lord has to do that. The Lord does what he likes. That's what it means to be the Lord. It means you do what you like. So he does what he likes, but he's responsive to devotional service. Yayata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamya. He's responsive. And as one approaches the Lord with a loving mood, the Lord is inclined to reciprocate. He's not as responsive to the to good works or advanced intellectual endeavors. They're not so pleasing to the Lord. Something may be there. You did some good work. You made some intellectual effort. But that's a very small thing compared to devotion. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakta. By Vedic study, the Lord is very difficult to reach. Hard to understand. Hard to approach. One may study all the Vedas and still be confused. Or still have only a theoretical knowledge of the Absolute. But adurlabhamatma bhakto, by devotional service, the Lord is easily achieved. Tasyaham sulabha partha nityayutasya yoginaha. Lord is gives himself to his devotees in response to their devotional mood. It's not simply pious activity. It's not simply intellectual endeavor. It's not simply accomplishment. It's not technique. Finally, it's sincere devotion and love for the Lord. That's not just sentiment. There's practical activity there also. Devotional service, not simply sentiment and doing nothing. But the mood of love is the essential thing. There's a difference between eating in a restaurant and eating the food that your mother cooks for you. What's the difference? It's love and devotion. Yeah. Even if the chef at the restaurant is a better cook, you'll still not get the same benefit. Because the love is the essential feature. Even the simple meal cooked by the mother is appreciated more than the big feast that you pay for. So Krishna is like that also. He's not so responsive just to you may be a big man and make big arrangements and so many things, but if devotion is not there, Krishna is not very interested. And the simplest thing, if offered with love and devotion, will attract him. Or the big arrangements with love and devotion will attract him. At Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, one was a king, one was a simple Brahmin. They both invited the Lord to come to their home. Krishna accepted both invitations at the same time. He fulfilled both invitations. He just expanded himself. And he was equally pleased by the opulent service of the king and by the very simple offerings given by the Brahmin. So that's Krishna. Equally pleased by the sincere service of his devotee and not very interested in material opulence or education or any other material qualification. Maya bhaishta vibhuta shreshta sarvesham maddarshanam. So this is maddarshanam, meeting Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says. As we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we meet Krishna in the pages. Where Krishna says that if you're reading Bhagavad Gita seriously, then you're worshipping me with your intelligence. So by hearing about Krishna in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we meet Krishna. By seeing the deity, but even seeing the deity, although the deity is there with his personal form and makes himself visible, it's not just to for the sake of visibility, but it's for the sake of accepting service. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that darshan is not the same as eye exercise. You know, the deity is not an eye chart. But the real thing is to serve the deity, to render some service. Patram pushpam palam toyam
Yome Bhaktiya Priyajtati. The mood of service to the deity is the way actually to see the deity. Otherwise, even the person who comes and sees the deity may not see the deity. He sees, but he doesn't see. Pashyanapi na pashyati. Same thing, if the president of India were to come here and sit down in the crowd, I might not know him. He'll look like just another Indian guest. Because I don't have any information about him. I don't really know anything about him. There's no relationship. But if I hear that this is the president of India, then I see, oh, this is the president of India. By seeing, I don't see. By hearing, I see. The Queen of England were to come here, she'd look like any other old lady. Until someone says, this is the Queen of England. Then everything changes. So Krishna also, for the materialist, he looks like a statue. Even for the neophyte devotee, he looks like a statue. For the materialist, he just looks like a statue. For the neophyte devotee, he looks like a very nice statue. But as one advances by hearing, by chanting, by offering service, then the deity reveals himself, that here I am. And one appreciates the presence of the Lord. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says someplace, by the soul's eye. We have our external eyes, the mechanical ones, put together with, well, the doctors could describe what all the parts are. Corneas and maculas and retinas and all of that stuff. And then there's the spiritual eye. Even those who are materially blind, congenitally blind or materially blind, can see Krishna by spiritual vision. And even those with 20/20 vision may be blind to the presence of the Lord. So everything depends on devotional service, and everything is finally up to the sweet will of Krishna. How to reveal himself, when to reveal himself. But Srila Prabhupada explains that one should realize this absolute position of the Lord, that he is present not only by vision, but by sound, and most especially by service. Then as we hear about the Lord and chant the glories of the Lord, the seeing of the Lord will actually take place. Prabhupada gives the example someplace that as one leaf of the tree is maturing, it means that all the other leaves of the tree will be maturing. It's not that just one leaf grows and the rest, nothing happens. But when one leaf is growing, the other leaves are growing. So if we're nicely hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna, then everything else will also mature progressively. All right. Some questions? There's the microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, stand up. Maharaj, we hear the name of Krishna itself means very attractive. So, does it mean, right now you mentioned, for us to really see Krishna, we need to hear about Krishna. But Krishna by default itself is very attractive. So even for those who do not hear, does he attract them with the same way or is hearing?
For those who do not hear, does he attract them? How will he attract them? He may attract them one way or another way, but the sound will be especially attractive. Otherwise, what's your idea? How will they be attracted? What did you have in mind?
Because the very name Krishna itself means is all attract to everyone, whether he is a devotee or a non-devotee. We also hear Kandarpa Koti Kamaniyam. So I'm just wondering, is hearing a mandatory thing for us to get attracted to Krishna?
No, someone may be attracted by some other way. Someone may be attracted just like those, but hearing will be especially, otherwise one may be attracted just by seeing or by some way, but hearing is everything. Just like those thieves were attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his jewels. They had the idea to steal them. So they became attracted. But even then, at least same thing happened with Krishna, that some thief wanted to steal his jewels. But how did he know to steal them? He heard first that this kid has really nice jewels. Rukmini became attracted to Krishna. She never even saw him. But at her father's palace, she used to hear. Different sages used to visit, and they'd talk about Krishna. So Krishna has all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, all strength. So just like some girl, she hears there's some eligible young man, and he's very rich. So without even seeing him, she becomes attracted. Or she hears that, oh, he's so handsome, you have to see him. So even before seeing him, she becomes attracted. So Rukmini, in that way, she heard about all the glorious qualities of Krishna, and she decided, this is the person that I have to have. So hearing. Just like milk, you look at it, it doesn't look like very much. But you hear that it's sweet, you hear that it tastes good, you hear from the doctors that it has all nutritional qualities. You hear from the Vedas that it's pious to drink. So you become attracted. Otherwise seeing, it looks just like, lime or something. not sweet lime, but the lime that you use for construction. But so hearing is so valuable. There's a question. There's questions behind you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for a nice answer. My question is related to the class, but it relates to the propensity to speak. Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita that one should practice the austerity of speech, which is speaking which is for the well-being of others, not agitating to others, and based on the scriptures. So it's an austerity, but and we try to practice it, speaking even when we are with karmis, speak in a way that is most favorable to Krishna consciousness. But the tongue is so voracious, and the tendency to project one's own false ego, tendency to hurt others is so strong that we fail time and again. So even this propensity, the speaking, this austerity can be practiced only when Krishna reveals. Can this austerity be practiced perfectly only when Krishna reveals, or is it possible even otherwise?
Perfectly depends on Krishna's mercy, but practice depends on you. Right?
Maharaj, what does this practice mean then?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's practice. Chant Hare Krishna and speak about Krishna. If you're always chanting and speaking about Krishna, then there's no room left for the other things. For prajalpa and so on. It said nature abhors a vacuum. If you leave a vacuum, then Maya can move in. Otherwise, if you're always busy chanting and hearing about Krishna, Satadam Kirti Antoma, then there's no opportunity. That's the practice. Okay?
Maharaj, you said that hearing is everything. Brahma heard it in his heart, Tene Brahma Hridaye. and he is a secondary creator. He is a spiritual master in our parampara, the original, the secondary creator in the Vedas who spoken to his mind. When the demigods want to approach Vishnu, they have to tell him to go and... And yet, that same Brahma gets bewildered when he sees Krishna having the uchishta of the cowherd boys. Very bewildering. He has heard, in his heart he has heard. So he has heard Krishna, he heard about it, and then why does he still, you know, feel that, no, this can't be the Supreme Personality of God?
Muyanti yat suraya. Even the demigods become bewildered. Therefore, we have to hear again and again. We hear and forget. So, constant hearing, repeated hearing, that will be good for us. Of course, in Brahma's case, Krishna wanted to have some fun. So he arranged these things. So, then it's not so bad. If we have to forget Krishna to please Krishna by Krishna's arrangement, then that's Krishna's pastime. But we don't volunteer to play that role. Is that all right?
Maharaj, I have two questions. One question is, with the permission, I am asking, with his permission, that I saw some people also, and I saw my senior person sitting here, chanting and listening Bhagavatam class, whether this is permissible.
Just hand him the microphone and ask him, or let him answer.
I'm not listening to the class. I've come here with a young guest, and out of courtesy, I'm sitting with her. I've come off the train, and I'm chanting my japa. And I don't think Maharaj is pitching the class particular to me. When he is one of my spiritual teachers, when I have a question, I ask him specifically, but I think he would agree that this particular class is not directed to me. It's directed to you, sir. What's your other question?
So, Maharaj, one question is bothering me. When you said that don't try to see Krishna by eyes, hear him or hear the spiritual master or the sadhu. Krishna has given clear-cut instruction in Bhagavad Gita that surrender to me and I'll take care of you. And it means whatever he has stated or whatever is being told about Krishna in Bhagavatam or in Bhagavad Gita is all secondary. The final instruction is surrender to me and I'll take care of you. Now, this question is little connected. I know your answer will be shorter, but the question is big, Maharaj. You'll excuse me. Now, I am doing karma according to my past karma. Because everything has already been programmed according to my past karma. And accordingly, I am just puppet in the hands of my prarabdha. So past karma is playing an important role, my family, my profession, everything. But Krishna is giving clear cut instruction, surrender to me. I will take care. Because if you try to mingle with your past karma, you will create further more serious problem, which will be worse than the original problem. So tolerate whatever you have got according to your past karma. Now my point is, then why the hell we are wasting our time for changing our situation by working hard like a donkey morning to evening when we know that we cannot change that situation except by fully devoting our time only to do what Krishna has said, means chant his name, hear Krishna Katha, and serve devotees, like that. Then why all these family life, profession, and we are wasting our time?
I could never figure it out.
I know your answer will be so short, Maharaj. I knew it very well. Because you can give class Bhagavatam in 10 minutes time. It's a history in the movement. Still, Maharaj, I want you, so please.
You'd like a little elaboration.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, under the influence of the illusory energy, we think that we're going to improve our life by material endeavor. And so the whole world is working in that way, especially bound by the mode of passion. Passion binds one to hard work. The ignorance binds one to doing nothing. Laziness, sleep, indolence. And in the mode of goodness, one cultivates knowledge and self-satisfaction. So especially on account of the mode of passion, work, work, work. Therefore, the modern civilization is more work, 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 because passion is there. And they're thinking that they're going to change the world by their activity. Either they're going to scientifically solve all the problems of the world, or scientifically accomplish this or accomplish that, or conquer this or make that. And they die. They work hard and die. And come back again and do the same thing again. So they're not going anywhere because their eyes of knowledge are shut. And the devotees are also working. They may also be working hard. But they're not under the illusion that by working hard, I'm going to make a better material life for myself. I'm going to get more happiness. The harder I work, the happier I'll be. They're working as a matter of duty and as a matter of satisfying Krishna and the spiritual master. In their material activities, it's duty. I have this work to perform. Yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam datam svakarmanatam abhyarcha. By my work, I have to satisfy the Lord. Varnashrama charvata purushena parapuman vishnu rajyate panta. So I have to satisfy Krishna by performing my duty. Even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, even I perform my prescribed duties. I don't have any prescribed duties, but I act as if I did, and I follow them, just to set the example for the world. Because if everyone stopped performing prescribed duties, everything would become chaotic and hellish. So it's the Lord's desire and arrangement that everyone should perform his prescribed duties, but not forgetting the result. Karma nyeva adhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. Not forgetting the result, but as a duty. When we read about the three modes of material nature, when we perform our duties for the sake of getting material gain, that's in the mode of passion. When we neglect prescribed duties, that's in the mode of ignorance. And when we perform prescribed duties, not to get some result, but because it's my duty, that's in the mode of goodness. And when we do it to satisfy Krishna, that's transcendental.
For that, Krishna has clearly said that, Yat Karoshi, whatever you are doing, do it for me. Then why this karma yoga means That karma yoga is for my own sense gratification. Actually, I am doing it for my purpose to show people, and I want to give something to Krishna.
Karma yoga, to the proportion that it's for me, it's karma. And to the extent that it's for Krishna, it's yoga. The karma is, practically it's all for himself, and a little covering on top, you know, like a little silver foil. This is for Krishna. But mostly it's for him. So he doesn't get so much benefit. Little benefit that, all right, it's for Krishna. And the devotee, hardly he cares about the work, but he just wants to satisfy Krishna. So for him, that karma yoga is practically, it's all yoga. Smart Hari Prabhu.
Maharaj, you answered this question very nicely in terms of Krishna consciousness, in terms of what part of the endeavor is for Krishna. But if we just consider that the karma itself, if a person goes to school, if they study, if they keep fit, if they eat nutritionally and so on and so on, cannot they not create their karma? Marginally, you can become a little stronger, a little more intelligent, a little... He was saying that he's bound by his karma from so many previous lives. My question is, regarding his comment, can we margin? Of course, we have a perfect body. Each of us has a perfect body, a perfect situation to become Krishna conscious. Whereas, can we marginally change our health, our intelligence, our memory, our wealth, and so on, by effort, although in terms of spiritual life, such a great effort for such a small reward is considered to be futile. But can we change our karma?
Apparently yes, but actually no. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Yeah, I can by exercise I can improve my health, but who will exercise? The person whose karma dictates, now you exercise. And the person whose karma is otherwise, he'll say, why should I exercise? Let me sit and watch television and eat chips. So he's thinking he's independent. But actually he's taking dictation from the modes of material nature. You have all of these people expressing their individuality by buying, you know, American jeans. 8,762,471 people expressing their individuality by buying the same pair of jeans. So they're not expressing anything except their obedience to the laws of material nature. But under illusion, they think, I'm expressing my individuality. So we're really bound hand and foot. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. We think I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But according to my karma, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I practically have no choice but to do this or do that. People are as if fastened to a wheel. And as the wheel is moving, they're moving. Only our little independence consists of... taking direction from Krishna or not taking direction from Krishna? I've heard it explained, one senior Vaishnava explained, that as you, the person in the mode of ignorance has practically no freedom. The person in the mode of passion has a little more freedom, and the person in the mode of goodness has still more freedom. If you're in the ignorance, there's not even a question of freedom because you don't even know what you're doing. You don't know whether it's up or down or day or night. So what freedom do you have? You know, like a donkey, how much freedom does he have? And in the mode of passion, there's a little more. There's some sense of choice and initiative. But he's bound by his desires and his aspirations and his hopes and his dreams. So there's not really freedom there either, but there's more of the appearance of freedom And when a person is in the mode of goodness, where there's thoughtfulness, where there's clarity, then there's a little more freedom. When I'm walking through Bombay bewildered, how much freedom do I have to go anywhere? But when I know the streets and the directions and so on, I have a little more freedom. But this is all relative freedom. In goodness, passion, and ignorance, it's relative freedom or different features of no freedom. Actual freedom comes when there's obedience to the directions of Krishna. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. For the Matajis, why is there no Brahmacharini ashram?
I didn't hear the question.
For Matajis, why is there no Brahmacharini ashram? I've never asked this to Maharaj-ji.
Why is there no Brahmacharini ashram? You mean, like physically speaking, a place where there are Brahmacharinis? Or do you mean in terms of Varnashram and the theoretical setup?
Not physically.
Why is there no such ashram?
If you're single, you eventually family and everybody wants you to get married.
Yeah.
And, Krishna Bhagwan's everything for us. So, but then finally you're attached to your husband and then you have children. Then there's no way you can, that attachment is still holding you back.
Yes.
Right?
But
why when you're detached...
Yes. People make advancement in different ways. In general, men will make advancement by detachment. And women will make advancement by attachment. When the woman is attached to a good husband, she makes progress. And when the man becomes detached from his good wife,
But that's not fair. That's not fair then. That's not fair. Because there's nothing like women and man, right? Then you're on the bodily concept.
Excuse me?
I said then... You're on the bodily concept when you think I'm a man and I'm a woman and,
Yes.
It's not right then if a man gets detached from his wife.
It's not right?
When we are attached, we're supposed to be attached. That's what you said.
The real thing that's right is to be attached to Krishna. To be attached to one's husband or detached from one's wife is not the perfection of existence. The idea is to become attached to Krishna. Whether one's in any ashram, householder life, or detached life, the purpose is to become attached to Krishna. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
But we are, but still I didn't get my answer. Why is there no Brahmacharini ashram?
Why? Because Krishna has arranged it that way. It works better. Management. Krishna is a good manager. He knows what works. There may sometimes be very renounced life found among the ladies, but that's less usual. But it may be there. Sarvopama Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
We give precedence to Sarvopama Prabhu Kutis, like our brother. Sure.
Maharaj, does Srila Prabhupada want everyone here to become guru?
He said that. Everyone should become Amaragya Guruha Tare Desh. How is that? Jari Dako Tarikao Krishna Padesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Give them Krishna Padesh. And that way become Guru. Yes. All right. Then the question that we left off from.
Maharaj, is chanting Hare Krishna a service, or is it?
Oh yes.
Is it an appeal to service?
Yes, chanting Hare Krishna is service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandanam. These are all 9 items of service. To chant Krishna's holy name is service to the holy name. How do we serve the holy name? By chanting and by hearing. Yes, that in itself is service.
And while chanting, we are appealing to that, we should get service to Radha. And
yes, by this service, we're asking for more service.
Okay. So even while having darshan of the deities, we are serving? Or
we hope so. The idea of having darshan is some people, they want to have darshan so that they can present to the deity what service they want the deity to render to them. My lord, this. But the pure devotee goes before the Lord to offer service. Is that all right? There's a question in the back.
Ariksha Maharaj, in extension to Mahaprabhu Prabhu's question, when a newcomer comes to Krishna consciousness, he brings with the backlog of improving his situation in life. So when he comes to Krishna consciousness, he brings this mentality, and especially when he hears the shloka that the Krishna will take care of all his sinful reactions, there's an expectation that, you know, his life will improve. And that's what, even when we introduce people, we preach to him that Krishna will take care of his sinful reaction. But when he comes into the Krishna consciousness more seriously, there are shlokas that we give him that, you know, Krishna takes away everything from somebody whom he's really dear to. So at that time, this newcomer really gets bewildered. So how do, and he really, you know, becomes bewildered. So how do you preach to such a person, or how do we as ourselves understand this contradiction?
Well, of course, that's sales. You know, when you sell the car, you talk about how good it is, all the good things that it does, how it's got all the fancy gadgets and everything. And then later you talk about how much it costs. All the attractive features go up front. Yes, because if we told everybody everything about devotional service, no one would join. If we tell them that you can be just like the gopis, you can cry forever. Who'll join?
Maharaj, one time in Vrindavan, Satchitananda, the Bengali brahmachari, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he says, Prabhupada, there is so much benefit from Hari Bhakti Vilas, why don't you translate it for the benefit of the devotees? And that was Prabhupada's answer. He said, if I introduced this, he said, everyone would leave.
Well, even the deity worship, when Prabhupada first introduced it, he just gave a few little simple things. He said, if I told you all the rules, you would faint. Wherever it wants. At Bhaktivedanta Hospital also, they'll tell you about how much better you feel after the treatment, how your life will improve and everything. But they don't really graphically paint, you know, what it's like to have your appendix removed or whatever it is that they're doing. That people aren't so much attracted to the, you know, first we cut open your stomach, and then we do this, and then we do that, and then we, you know, you're going to bleed like anything, so we have to do this. But the benefit is there. Yes, where did that microphone?
Maharaj, yesterday a devotee asked me that there are three states of self-realization, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And Brahman realized person goes to the Brahma Jyoti, and the Bhagavan realization goes to the Vaikuntha planets. What about the Paramatma realized person? Where does he? What is his destination?
According to his direction, the yogis, Jnanavasta Tathagyatena Manasa Pashanti, they can see the Paramatma, and then they have their choice. They can try to merge with the Paramatma, or they can try to serve the Paramatma. If they desire to merge with the Paramatma, they go to the Brahma Jyoti. And if they desire to serve the Paramatma, they go to Vaikuntha. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Maharaj, I would like to ask a very direct question about your realization, because this will help our Krishna consciousness very nicely. Is that I would like to know about your personal realization, that when a person is giving, when is spending more time in Krishna consciousness for years and years and years, how is it possible to keep the steadiness in Krishna consciousness when the mind is going to disturb, which is disturbing, your body is also going to give a disturbance, even sometimes the other devotees also try to disturb you. In all the circumstances, to keep a very hardcore steadiness in Krishna consciousness without any junk at all in any way, how did you keep it, and what is the instruction you keep in your mind as a secret thing that gives you impetus that under any circumstances I'm not going to compromise Krishna consciousness?
Sounds like you've overrated my realization. But Prabhupada someplace said that Krishna consciousness means that you think that if I stopped serving Krishna, what would I do? You know, if I left, where would I go? What would I do? So maybe my only good fortune is that because I joined so young, I have no qualification, so I'm unfit for anything else. That's about it. I'm just useless for anything else, so I have to keep doing this. I told you there wasn't there much there.
Maharaj, when the mind is disturbing, at that time, how to keep it completely steadiness?
I'll let you know when I find out. But Krishna says, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyamyaita adatmanyeva visham. Wherever it goes, not that the mind is going to say, well, now I'm going to be a good boy and just be obedient. But we know that the mind goes. So then we have to keep bringing it back, bringing it back, bring it back, bring it back. And the more we practice, the better we hope we'll get at it. It's not that one day we wake up and we're realized and now the mind behaves like, you know, an ideal obedient servant. One always has to be careful of the mind. Because the mind will always, something like a tiger. You know, the circus people with their whip and their so on, they tame the mind. They tame the tiger. But still they know that I'm dealing with a tiger. So the mind is dangerous. But it can be the best friend when it's controlled in the service of Krishna. The mind is dangerous. It's the worst enemy. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaya vishatruvat. When the mind is controlled, now what is controlled? Controlled means thinking of Krishna. And what is thinking of Krishna? Prabhupada said, thinking means chanting. The mind is so restless and unsteady and uncontrolled that if we sit around and think about Krishna, it'll become thinking about something else. Because our thinking is not very controlled, or it's not naturally pure. But chanting, when we chant Hare Krishna, then and fix the mind on the sound, then you're thinking. So it doesn't mean that we blot out thought. As soon as the thought comes, we chant. But thinking of Krishna becomes possible, becomes easy by chanting. And chanting is so important. And chanting, reading, serving, so that the mind will be surrounded by Krishna consciousness, or finally permeated with Krishna consciousness. That's the idea. Is that okay?
You have made a very good point today that a husband and a wife is, the husband is supposed to be detached from the wife and wife is supposed to be attached to the husband. Now in this particular point, I would like to have a very clear clarification is that the husband is also become has to become a devotee and the wife is also supposed to become a devotee.
Yes.
Both have to chant the four, both of them have to follow regulatory principles, both of them to chant 16 rounds too. The husband has to think of Krishna and get detached. What the wife is supposed to do when she is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
Here. By chanting and hearing, both husband and wife become attached to Krishna. Both husband and wife become attached to Krishna. Only from the material point of view, it's the nature of the wife to be attached. Attached to home, attached to husband, attached to family. That's... Therefore, her life is arranged in that way, so that a husband will be there, a family will be there. Then she's comfortably situated materially, or suitably situated materially. So now that's taken care of. Now the business is to think of Krishna. Man can live without these things. Therefore, brahmachari ashram. And we encourage the young men, why do you want a home? Why do you want a wife? Why do you want a family? Why do you want all that? You don't need any of that. If we encourage the women like that, they'll be perplexed. But the men, of course, they may be perplexed also. But it's quite possible for them. So then they don't have to do anything else except preach, chant, serve. That means their material needs are very easily taken care of. We give them one of these little cubby holes up there and a mosquito net and a little prasadam, and they're happy. But woman, if she has a nice husband, nice home, nice children, she's happy. So that's just means, just like a skinny man, you give him one or two chapatis and he's happy. And a fat man, you give him 8 or 10 chapatis and he's happy. So they each have their material needs, but it's not that just by eating chapatis I become happy. That's not my business in life, it's just to eat chapatis. But I have to meet my material needs. I'll eat my 2 chapatis and I'll do my service. Or I'll eat my 10 chapatis and I'll do my service. The goal is service, not chapatis. So for the women, when they're married, when they have nice family and so on, then their material needs are taken care of, and their business is to see to their duties and chant Hare Krishna, think of Krishna. And the man also, if he's brahmachari, then his needs are less. If he's married, his needs are more. But same business to become attached to Krishna. Just the approach is different.
Then Maharaj,
superficially.
So a practical problem that comes up in this way, that the husband and the wife, they both are devotees. They both are sincerely trying. The woman's nature is that she has to be attached to the husband. So it is quite natural that she, being a devotee also, she will try to show herself. And she is even thinking, she is also coming to that conclusion, she is attached to the husband, children, home and everything. Now the husband, the problem is that he is supposed to be detached from the wife. At the same time, he has to accept the service also from the wife. And wife naturally, because she is showing so much attachment to the husband, the husband has to reciprocate also. And in reciprocating, if he doesn't show attachment to her, then the relationship becomes very much disturbed.
Yes.
So in that circumstances, what a husband has to supposed to do?
Yes, therefore husbands are supposed to be strong. Husbands are supposed to be strong. Men are supposed to be the stronger side. So the husband should be strong. What is that strength? That he can satisfy the wife without becoming too entangled. He'll do his household duties in such a way that the wife will be very satisfied. My husband's taking care of me. He loves me. He's doing everything. At the same time, if he's expert, he's doing those things, but he's not so attached. He's doing those things, just like Prabhupada gives... Anyway, I won't concoct that example. It'll get me in trouble. But he's doing things inside. This is explained in this. Is it 7th canto or 8th canto? By instructions by Narada to Yudhishthira Maharaj? 7th canto, 14th chapter. 4th verse, okay. That the husband should act as if he's very attached. But inwardly, he's not. Just like in business, we say that, you know, all we care about is our customers. You know, we put our customers first. So everyone understands that business means that you put yourself and your bottom line first. But to do business effectively, you have to say, we really care about our customers. We just want to make our customers happy. The customer is always first. And you show some regard for your customer also. And the customer feels happy that, yes, this company cares about its customers. It takes good care of its customers. It keeps its word to its customers. It provides good service to its customers. But still, the proprietor of the company is not thinking of the customer. He's thinking of his stockholders. Or himself, if he's the owner. But he runs his affairs in such a way that the customer feels completely satisfied that this is a customer-centric business. So it's politics.
So Maharaj, one thing is very clear. If the husband who is not a proper diplomatic person, means not in a bad sense, he cannot be a successful husband.
Now you've got it.
With this in mind, my question is, there's a recommendation that all the men should call their wives Devi. Is that a good recommendation?
There's a recommendation that all the husbands should call their wives Devi. Is that a good recommendation? I don't know where the recommendation's from. I know that some of my godbrothers do that, and it's very much appreciated. as far as an injunction, I don't know of any injunction. But, yes, I don't, you know, it's not just, you know, I'm going to stop saying, you know. It's not just a question of what term you use, because you can say, listen, Davy. And she's not going to feel all that great. So it's the mentality. The husband should respect the wife. The wife is the servant of Krishna. This wife is meant, she's also the associate of Krishna, servant of Krishna. So it's my duty to serve her in her spiritual advancement and provide for her material necessities also. So there should be proper regard. It's the specific terminology, the specific epithet is less important. But it's the consciousness.
Maharaj, I've got two questions, both in relation to questions which I've already been asked. One is that the shloka, in which Krishna says that he will take care of all that we need and preserve what we lack. Is that only a sales pitch, or is there something more to it where Krishna says that?
Yeah, there's something more to it. It's a good sales pitch. That's why LIC picked it up.
Yoga Shalom.
But the deeper meaning is that Krishna will protect us from Maya, and he'll preserve our spiritual advancement. Krishna says, Neha Abhikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo Navidyate. That's the real protection. The material body is not going to be ultimately preserved. It will be finished. That's also good. If our material life is ultimately completely destroyed, that's good. The materialist wants to preserve his attachments. And Krishna wants to free the conditioned soul from his attachments. So the deeper meaning is that Krishna will preserve our Krishna consciousness and protect us from Maya.
The second question was, Maharaj, in relation to the question which Anand Vrindavan Prabhu put up, like Queen Kunti Devi, she saw through the whole politics of it.
She?
Saw through the whole politics of it. And she asked Krishna to give up our attachments to all this. So, initially people come through attachment, but gradually they see through it all and go, yes, become detached. Is this the conclusion of that?
Yes, attachment. Actually, our process is attachment. Attachment to Krishna. To become detached is the policy of the yogis and the tapasvis. They're simply cultivating detachment. This is all Maya, let me become detached. But the devotees cultivate attachment to Krishna. Therefore, the yogis who become detached, either their attachment grows back, or they become so detached that they become detached from Krishna also. They think Krishna is also Maya. Everything's Maya. Let me become detached. But the devotees cultivate attachment to Krishna, and therefore they get freed from all material attachments. That's also in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, therefore, he's asked, which is better, to cultivate knowledge or to act in bhakti yoga and karma yoga? He said, no, acting is better, because it will purify the heart. So the whole process is attachment.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right. There's a couple of more questions. There's two over there and one over here.
You said that Duryodhana saw Krishna, but not in a devotional mood.
Yeah. Duryodhana, yes.
So what was the destination? Because he didn't see it in devotional.
Yes, those who are killed by Krishna or in the presence of Krishna, they attain Sayujya Mukti and personal liberation. Even by being killed by Krishna, such what the yogis are aspiring for, the demons attain. So what to speak of the devotees like Yashoda Mayi and others? Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, just now you said that the brahmacharis, ashram brahmacharis, are looked after their material needs, so they can advance in devotional service. Whereas the woman gets married and her material needs are looked after by her husband. It's very beautiful arrangement. But I also, and the, you know, a woman when she is married, her material needs are looked after. But her devotional service cannot progress so much because she gets, women are very emotional. So they get so attached to the family, husband, children, especially children. It's impossible to leave your love for children. So they get stuck and they are there only. And I also heard in Venugate, when Bhagwan Ram goes in the forest, those Rishicharya gopis, those who become Rishicharya gopis, no? They are men and they look at Ram and they get so much attracted. And they want to serve him as Sita was serving him. Because they were males and so they became ashamed. Then I also heard that there is no question of gender in bhakti. Then how can we progress as women? Because we cannot give up the love of our children. We are so much entangled in our domestic life.
One time one of my godbrothers said to Srila Prabhupada, regretfully, he said, I'm so attached to my family. And Prabhupada said, that is through Krishna. The idea is that suppose I'm attached to my children. So the materialistic mother, she wants her children to become, you know, doctors and engineers and be materially successful and so on. And in this way, spoil their life. But the Krishna conscious mother wants, just like Prabhupada's mother, wanted that her son should be a devotee of Krishna. That's the real blessing to be received from a good Krishna conscious mother, is that the children will become pure devotees of Krishna. If I desire, if I'm attached to my to someone, what do I want? I want that that person should become Krishna conscious. So in that way, it becomes a Krishna conscious engagement. The same thing, the materialistic mothers are interested, they have affection for their children. Even the animal kingdom, the parents have affection for their babies. But it's just in terms of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the Krishna conscious mother wants the children to become Krishna conscious, and she's always finding out some ways to promote Krishna consciousness. Even Prabhupada told the story, not little children, but grown children, one business family, I forget, he told the name, but I forget, where they had their deity, their temple in their home, in their compound, you know. And the rule was that every one of the sons had to attend Mangal Arati. That rule was set by the mother. And if the son didn't attend, then the pujari would come with a slip that you're fined so much because you didn't attend the Mangal Arati, so you have to pay this fine. So the guiding light for the spiritual progress of that family is the mother. Huh? Even, who is it? Vrindavan Das Thakur. He's known as the son of Narayani. Who his father is, nobody even cares. But his mother was the niece of Srivas Thakur. She was a pure devotee of Krishna, and her son became Vrindavan Das Thakur. So that is the idea, that all right, be absorbed in everything, home, children, all of that, but how to make it Krishna conscious? how the house should be inspiring for Krishna consciousness, how the children should be directed toward Krishna consciousness. Everything Krishna consciousness. How the husband should be inspired in Krishna consciousness. Then it becomes nice. Hmm? Excuse me? Yes, yes. Everyone gets the same benefit. Prabhupada mentions here, it's absolute. So any service, it doesn't matter from which angle it's rendered, what ashram it's rendered, what body we render it in. It's absolute. Stree means one who expands. The materialistic stree, as soon as the husband comes home, she wants to, you know, I want this. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that? I was thinking that we could do this and looking how to expand materially. And the Krishna conscious stree, how to expand Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I just like to share with everybody, since we're discussing this marriage topic, once Radhanath Maharaji told me, he said, you should marry someone who will treat you like you're the daughter of God, and you should treat him like he's the son of God.
Very good.
Because you're a very precious soul. So I'd just like to share this with them.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. There's a question over here. When do I stop, by the way? I can take some more. Okay. There's no Sunday feast, so we'll go on for another couple of hours. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So today we had a lot of discussion on karma and influence of karma in people's lives. So when people come to Krishna consciousness, there are different kinds of people coming with their different kinds of karma behind them. And accordingly, they take up Krishna consciousness. And accordingly, their tendency to render some service is there, because some people are getting attracted to deity worship, some cooking, some preaching. So this karma is also influencing the way they are practicing their devotional service. So, and also, in certain people's lives, it appears that because of their good karmas in past, the things go on very smoothly. While other people, they have a lot of tough time in practicing their Krishna consciousness. So my question is that where is the role of our sincerity and effort, and how does Krishna's mercy intervene?
Okay. First thing is material side. According to our material past activities, we get a particular body and everything that comes with that, activities that come with that and so on. And the other thing is that on account of our past spiritual activities, there's a certain credit. So from my material, you know, what I've got for this material body, that's on account of my past material activities, and I just live with it. Somebody has a very strong body, you know, body, somebody has a very weak body, someone's very healthy, someone's sickly, someone's tall, someone's short, someone's this, someone's that. So there'll be different activities accordingly. No one's going to give me the service of bodyguard. You know, such a useless, skinny body. So no one's going to say, all right, you be the guard. No one's going to say, we need some heavy lifting done, you're the man. But someone else will have a suitable body for that, so he's has that opportunity. So that's material activities. As someone's inclined toward this, someone's that, this, that, according to their different capabilities materially given. Then spiritually, someone has more advancement from their past life. Therefore, Prabhupada mentioned sometimes someone comes right away, he just wants to hear, he just wants to chant, just wants to serve. It's as if he's been a devotee for years, he very quickly comes to the top of the heap. So why? Because in his past life he cultivated, and where he left off, he's
taking it up again. And someone else is full of, well, I don't know, and it seems so difficult, and so many problems, and attachments, and obstacles, and this and that, little attachment is there, some attraction to Krishna is there, but his attraction to Maya is very strong, and sometimes going this way, sometimes he comes, sometimes he goes, because he cultivated in a previous life, but not as much. So the unfinished business from his previous life is more unfinished than that first person. But in either case, wherever they left off, they can pick it up. So the person who's made 50% advancement can now go on to 51, 52, 60, 80. And the person who's made 80% can pick up from there until we come to 100%. Is that okay?
So my question is that somebody might have performed, come up to 50% of advancement, and other person is starting from maybe 10% or less. But then as we are hearing and we are taught, I'm hearing from Shastras that we should finish our business in this lifetime. So what extra endeavor and sincerity and effort that person who is having less spiritual credit would have to perform?
No, it's the same for both. The person who's 80% or the person who's 10%, the same prescription is given. Chant Hare Krishna, engage in the service of Krishna. Only the person who's 80% say will have a nice taste for that and attraction, and the person who's 10% not so naturally attracted. So the real thing is to get the mercy of the devotees. If even a very beginner, just like a hunter, got the mercy of Narad Muni and he became a pure devotee, you know, how much credit did he have as a hunter, half killing animals? But a pure devotee was kind to him, so he came to the top. So it's the business of the newcomers to be weak, and it's the business of the older devotees, or those who come before them, to be merciful.
Maharaj, I have a very practical question. Because from last so many years it is disturbing me, so I thought, let me ask you. As you said very clearly, the husband is supposed to be attached to Krishna and wife is supposed to attach to the husband. Now, Maharaj, when a wife is supposed to leave her body and she is, and the husband is not a pure devotee, he is a devotee, but he is not a pure devotee. So when a wife is about to leave her body, she should think of Krishna or she should think of her husband. Because if she is a very faithful and a chaste woman, and if she thinks about husband, whether she will go back to Godhead or she will not go back to Godhead.
She should think of her husband in relation to Krishna.
But Maharaj, the husband is not a pure devotee.
But does he have a relationship with Krishna? So she should think of her husband in relation to Krishna. She can think, may my husband become Krishna conscious.
Then Maharaj, she can go back to Godhead?
Yeah, everybody can.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful question of the session. Maharaj, one question is this, in continuation to that Mataji's question. As far as I can see, means there are two things that are guiding our spiritual progress. One, the past spiritual credits that we are carrying from our past life. One is that. And the second is our free will.
Excuse me?
There are two things which will guide...
Past credit from previous life.
Yeah,
and
spiritual credits from our past life. And the other thing is our free will in this life, which will guide our further spiritual progress. So if everything is determined from our past life, then how free will play a role?
Free will is you can turn your back on your pet, on your opportunity. Just like someone materially takes birth in a good family, good parents, good everything, and becomes a bum. That means he was given every opportunity, but he misused it. So one can be given all good spiritual opportunities also and misuse that, or use it properly. He still has his choice. It's not that you're given every opportunity, so you have to take it. Naturally, you will, but you still have the freedom to say, no, I refuse. It's still up to you. But nature is that I'll tend to follow. If I'm born in a good family, educated parents, so on and so on, then I'll also become, pick up that nature, education, and good habits, and so on. But I still have my freedom. I can refuse. But if I go along with the way things are arranged, then I'll become, you know, I'll act according to what's been given to me. So spiritually also, I can still say, well, I've come this far in devotional service, but I'm not going any further. But why would you say that? The person, that's why someone's at 10%. I've made this much advancement, but I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to take this book, but I'm not going to go to the temple. Right? All right, I'll take your book, but I'm not going to come to your temple. So he's got a certain degree of faith or cooperative spirit by his own free will. As he develops his good fortune, he'll use his free will. All right, I'll come to your temple. Let's see what it is. And then after that, further, further, further. But it's always his own choice.
Then what does this mean, that everything is determined by your fate or destiny? Destiny determines everything. What does this statement mean? Is it true?
It's something of an overstatement.
Overstatement,
huh? Or your destiny, but you make your own destiny also. It's not that you make your destiny, that you do all rubbish and you get all the good results. No. If you act like a criminal, you'll suffer like a criminal. So you make your own destiny.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hmm. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Who? Oh, you mean how much longer can I sit here and answer questions? Or how much longer can you sit there and put up with the answers?
Chanting is the most important part in our total spiritual life. So how you will suggest that we should chant, so how we can chant properly? Because it's always troubling. Chanting is not, everything else we can do nicely, but chanting is not done nicely.
Prabhupada told one devotee, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. That's the whole thing. Try to hear yourself chant sincerely. That's what he said. There's a question right there. Left. Oh, well, that hand has been up in the air for so long that we have to. All right, you're next.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is again in reference to Mataji, who asked a question that mothers are naturally attracted to their children. Hmm. Now, we find in the lives of Krishna conscious mothers also in our history where they have been really attached to their children. For example, like Sachi Mata. So when, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, you know, she was crying and she became helpless, and also in the lives of so many acharyas. So is it natural for mothers to feel bodily attached to the children, and even though they have perfected their lives as pure devotees, is it natural for mothers to feel attached on a bodily level to their children?
Of course. That's natural. Of course, Sachi Mata, her child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But therefore, it's to the advantage of, from another angle of vision, it's again to the advantage of the women to have their children
to raise their children in Krishna consciousness, because then as their children become advanced devotees and their mother is attached to the child, the mother will be thinking of a devotee and her life is successful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is that when I came to Krishna consciousness, at that time I could make out that this human form of life is very important. And somehow or the other I have to make it a point that I need to go back home, back to Godhead within this lifetime itself. But years after years, I can realize that it's simply not possible for me. That is, I have to take few more births still. Because year after, I could realize that I stand nowhere. So, Maharaj, what I should do?
What should you do? Trade that realization in for a new one. Your realization is that it's not possible for you to become Krishna conscious in this birth. You have to go through many lifetimes. So you might want to trade that realization in for another one, such as you can become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. Or that, all right, if it takes lifetimes, but let me do it. Whether it takes one lifetime, it takes 10 lifetimes, let me do it. It does, in one sense, it doesn't affect my program. You know, if I want to go to Bombay from Delhi, it doesn't matter whether it takes me 1 day or 2 days or 3 days. My program is to go. But naturally, I want to go as quickly as possible. Where are we going?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, to what extent does our free will take dictation from the mode of material nature that we are in? For example, I have the free will.
To what extent does your free will take dictation from the modes of nature?
Does it take dictation from the modes of material nature?
To the extent that it's not free. Our freedom is, we limit our freedom by taking dictation from the modes of nature. We're all free to go back to Godhead, but because we're taking dictation from the modes of material nature, that freedom is eclipsed or limited. Therefore, Krishna says, "Nistraguna Bhavarjana," get free from these, from that dictation.
Thank you.
Chant Hare Krishna and get free from that.
This question come in written. As we make advancement in devotional service, our devotional service is expected to become unmotivated. But we see and experience that as we go on, our service becomes motivated by appreciation and respect. How do we overcome this anartha?
Yes. That can be an anartha, that I'm serving, but my service is aimed not exactly toward pleasing Krishna, but toward getting recognition so that I'll be pleased. In the beginning, that may be a little good, that anyway, he's figured out that he can get some recognition by serving Krishna, so he's going to serve Krishna. That's a motivator for the neophyte devotee, that I'll give a donation and they'll put my name on a plaque, such and such person gave this donation. And then he feels very satisfied that my name is there on the plaque. But he gave the donation. So that credit is his. But as he becomes the more advanced devotee, he doesn't care about the plaque. He cares about serving Krishna, serving the spiritual master. And he may even try to escape recognition. When Madhavendra Puri was favored by the deity, he thought, as soon as the morning comes, everyone's going to find out about it. I'd better leave. So it's a kind of cultivation by knowledge that one knows that pride is my enemy, that the desire for fame and false prestige are enemies. So by cultivation of knowledge, by sincere chanting, by which he gets, when you get the taste for serving Krishna, the taste for material recognition becomes distasteful. Raso Vajram Raso Pyasya. The materialists, or the person's just a little above the material platform, he has that taste for recognition. And the advanced devotee, you may recognize me or you may badmouth me, but I'll serve Krishna. Tulya nindatma samstutihi. You praise me or you criticize me, but I'm going to do my duty. I'll serve Krishna.
Maharaj, in continuation to the question that I asked, you said that we need to execute our free will in such a way that it really is free will, free from the modes of material nature that we are in. Now, even to use our free will, does that require the mercy of the Lord?
Yes, everything requires the mercy of the Lord. But by the mercy of the Lord, you'll practice. Same thing, that if you misuse your free will, you take intoxicants and all rubbish, then you lose your free will. And the person takes intoxicants and then he loses his discrimination. He can't tell right from left, up from down. So he's further compromised his ability to use his free will because he's misused it. And you use it properly, you'll get greater scope for your free will. By cultivating the mode of goodness, now you have greater freedom. You're not bound by the desire to be intoxicated. You're not bound by the desire to earn and earn and earn and earn and spend and spend and spend. So now you have greater scope for your free will. So when the free will is used in the service of Krishna, you become more and more free. Now, should we continue? Should we stop? What should we do? Or you? Why don't we leave it this way? Those who want to, you know, stay a little longer, feel free to stay. Those who have other things to do, please don't feel that you have to be polite and sit here because I'm a big shot or something. Yes, where's that microphone? There's a hand that wants it over there. And finally, someone in management has to tell me when to stop. That's management's duty. My duty is just to answer questions, and your duty is to tell me when to stop.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for a very nice class.
Where are you?
Yeah. Maharaj, I've been observing that in my life, many times the situation generally affects our sadhana. Matlab, like the in devotee circle also, some devotee says like this, say something. And outside world also, like, you know, Karmi say something. So how does that platform can be, we can raise to that platform that any situation or circumstance will not affect our sadhana and chanting?
How can we raise ourselves to that platform where no circumstance will affect our sadhana or chanting? Chant purely. Haridas Thakur, by the purity of his chanting, a prostitute could come in the middle of the night and it wouldn't affect his sadhana. Pure chanting. So we may not be on the level of Haridas Thakur, but as far as possible, we should try to avoid 10 offenses and in this way chant purely. Last question. Should it be the last question? You know, we've been going 2.5 hours. It's probably... I don't want people to get...
Maharaj, I have one more question.
Oh. Okay.
In the devotees' circle, sometimes developing relationship, some devotees may need his false ego to be pampered or...
Maybe what?
His false ego to be pampered or should not be hurt sometimes. So... If you don't hurt his false ego, he feels very nice. So, but sometimes during the dealing...
The devotees who are trying to give Krishna consciousness have to decide when to encourage someone and when to smash someone. Just like a doctor. Sometimes he'll give encouragement that you just continue this way. And sometimes he smashes. That if you go on like this, how will you recover? So, or a parent sometimes encourages the child, oh, you're doing very nicely in your studies. And sometimes tells the child, you know, what are you doing? You'll never learn anything this way. According to a little bit of discretion, when it's good to encourage, when it's good to smash. So one has to consider like that. Sometimes we see a person who's just becoming, you know, more and more swelled with his own sense of how great he is. So then we know that a little pin in the balloon may be good. And sometimes a person is feeling that I don't have any, I don't think I can do this. It's too hard for me. And we encourage, no, you can do this. You're a capable person. Whatever will help that person to be properly engaged in the service of Krishna. It's not just the pleasure of smashing someone or the cordiality of encouraging someone, but what will be best for the person's spiritual advancement.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Shall we end there? I think we've been going for quite some time. No one's decisive. All right, I think we can end here. That will be good, because probably there's prasadam for people and things like that. So prasadam is there, and we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All there is to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanande.